Welcome to the new and improved Configure It Done podcast. The Configure It Done podcast is now a place where we interview senior thought leaders in the SAP space across Australia and New Zealand, and the aim is to tap into their knowledge so we can pass on their insights to the listening SAP community.
So I'm here with Deborah today. So she specializes in change and training in SAP. And even though she specializes in change and training, something that she's also been incredibly good at is AI. So she's taken a very specific interest in AI. She loves process improvement, process efficiency, and she's carried all of that knowledge through to the roles that she's been in over the last few years. So welcome, Deborah.
Thanks, Bethany. Hi, everyone.
Perfect. So I'm going to go through a series of questions because AI, so to give some context, AI is something that almost every one of my clients is talking about in some way. They often talk about it like a buzzword, though, rather than specifically what it can do for the business, which is why I think your knowledge is so incredible. So your focus on AI, because it's more focused on process efficiency and business improvement, this is the entire point of technology. It's meant to be there to help improve our lives and in a business context to improve the business and efficiency. So how did you first get interested in AI specifically for process efficiency? How did this happen?
I think I was just born someone who just wants to streamline everything. Like, why should you do something harder or slower when you can do it faster or better? So like, just a simple story is, my partner actually started using ChatGPT several years ago as soon as it was launched, to write me really romantic text messages. And I'm like, well, what are you doing with this? And then I didn't just use it for fun. I just started thinking about, well, what's its purpose? And what am I going to do with this? And how can it make things better? So I just started testing it. So initially, I had it with my camera. I actually had it look at this antique Chinese cabinet that I had, and it helped me analyze that it was from the Qing Dynasty, and it was like 100 plus years old. But the interaction was amazing, that it not only could look at it through my phone, but through that conversation, because it was just, I didn't have to look anything up, it was just conversational, like, well, what's this, what's that? It actually helped me discover hidden paintings inside my cabinet that I didn't even know existed. And it was just shocking. I went crazy that day, and I'm like, okay, what else can it do? And then I had it diagnose a problem with my car. And then I decided I needed to research something, and it was going to take me days. So I just had literally with the voice part, just had a conversation with it and said, this is my goal. I want to achieve X, Y, and Z. Write a table with specific technologies that will get me to this outcome. And if not one does all of these, break it up to what technology is an expert in each of these outcomes and write a table. 5 minutes, I have this whole thing out. Normally, that would have taken me probably hours and hours, if not weeks, to come up with my own spreadsheet of the compare and contrast to make a decision about a certain technological thing I was trying to do. So just started with looking for research, understanding, just playing with it initially. And then all these new models kept coming out. We had ChatGPT, we had Gemini, we had Claude. SAP has Joule, and probably like 100, if not 200 plus more that already did. And they sort of do the same thing, but all of them do things slightly different. And then just spending all my time trying to do one thing and testing all the different models to see which one works for me. And I actually do different things with different models.
That's amazing. I love it. I use it all the time for work as well. So how does AI actually enhance decision-making processes, especially for SAP? And I ask because one of the biggest fears right now is AI is coming, it's going to replace our jobs. And what I have found so far is that it's not that it's going to replace everybody, it's that it's going to replace the people that don't get on board and figure out how to utilize it properly. Because the more you prompt it and know how to use it, the more efficient you will be. So all it's doing is taking already efficient people and enhancing what they do. So how can we take all of that and use AI to enhance decision-making with SAP-driven processes?
The probably really good way to explain this without, because I'm a cross between technical and functional. So I'll probably use an example. So for example, I had a problem at a job where something was happening in a really negative fashion, causing negativity for the business, financial impacts, etc. So at that time, I didn't have access to AI, and I had two different people running multiple data analysis processes on like six different databases, multiple systems, and trying to data gather all that information, build a spreadsheet, run analysis on it, build pie charts, etc. It took 2 months to come up with probably five root causes of this problem. Because of this problem, we had a massive amount of, we had to actually put a squad together, probably 10 people that were 8 hours a day trying to undo the damage that this problem was causing. I'm trying to be a little bit hazy here because it's proprietary information. So at that time, if I had had an AI solution, so you can have either a robotic solution or you can have a generative AI or what's the word I'm looking for? Machine learning. Depends on which flavor of AI, because there's multiple different ones that can do multiple different things. Yeah. So in my mind today, if I could have deployed a generative AI solution and said, query these five data sources, look for an instance of X, Y, Z, and come up with the top five root causes by dollar amount, by time invested, et cetera, whatever I was looking for. It would have spat that out in a matter of minutes, if not maybe hours, depending on how deep the data was. And I'd instantly see what was causing this problem, which we could then implement, in my mind, another solution using AI to prevent that from happening in the first place. So a lot of the companies I've worked for over the years, they're really into firefighting, and I'm into fire prevention. So why should we have a team of people trying to undo or fix or remediate something that you could actually just preemptively learn that it could happen and make sure it doesn't happen? So thinking about every company, it's like risk, whether it's financial risk, whether it's fraud, my God, cybersecurity is constantly evolving and changing, and AI is going to be merging with cybersecurity, I'm sure, in the future. So when you look at any process you're trying to do that takes you hours of really repetitive tasks, boring tasks, or searching, surely, and like someone on an archaeological site who has to dig with this one little tiny brush, taking them weeks, months, years. If there was an AI somehow that could go in and just see everything and dig it out in like 2 seconds, or a robot, they'd prefer, while protecting, obviously, the bones, why wouldn't you use it?
Yes, 100%. You know what I'm really interested in, and I appreciate you need to be fairly general with this, that we're not naming names or giving really specific examples, but I'd love to hear about a real world example for where AI-driven automation in SAP improved companies' operations. So what you did, how you did it to actually improve operations, processes, everything.
Oh, an easy one is anyone who has SAP or any ERP, CRM, any software basically in the world, has a help desk, internal help desk, external help desk. And in those help desks or support centers, there's always going to be probably 10 to 30% of those queries are going to be repetitive.
Yes.
Where the problem is, how do I do that? What's the date of this? Send me this document. What's the location? So we just, in the last project I was on, we just took 15% of the most frequent queries and just used Gen AI. So what it does is Gen AI just goes in and it queries a specific database or multiple ECC systems, and it gets the answer that the requester is looking for. It also does a verification level. So again, it was for external people, not internal people. So there had to be security. So verify who you were, and then it would run the check for you and give you the update that you're requesting as an external party to this company using a version of SAP. I'm trying to be general, but really it was, in the old days, a request would come in, it would sit in a queue for days, weeks, there's holidays, there's, you know, people off, et cetera. And it might, if I just want to know the date or the amount of something, or the status of something that's happening as an external to your company, I might have sit into a queue for days, weeks, or, you know, get it gets lost in its months. But why would I then want to keep repeating that model when I could just deploy AI to take those ones that knew 100% there was no way that it was going to make them a mistake, and just have AI go and pull that back and respond to you in minutes? Like, what's the benefit?
Absolutely.
As a consumer, don't you want your question answered or your problem fixed in minutes versus days or months?
So what I'm still hearing is this will be, if we can just take things and copy and paste them through AI to take what's already the most efficient, what's working the best, what has the least likelihood of causing issues based on history, and copy that into other areas of the business, that it will eventually be replacing some roles. But again, it just means that we all need to be working smarter to keep up so that we're not left behind.
I am really of the mentality that AI should enhance productivity of you. Like, if you've got good people, why would you want to get rid of them because you can automate some of their job? Why not use the skills that they have to do smarter, faster, better, other work instead of having them bogged in admin? So, for example, in the help desk example I gave you, if we're automating 10 to 20% of the basic stuff that just takes them time,
yes,
if that's gone off their plate, now you've got the ability to put them into really complex stuff that they have to do anyway, that now that was going to take them months because they were doing other basic stuff. That stuff's automated. Now they can improve their performance with getting the complex queries in like a couple of days or, you know, maybe a week. And things like when you're onboarding people to systems, you know, the creating the entries in, like, thinking about the software admin. So they're creating all the entries in the master data. They're confirming stuff here and there. Sometimes there's duplicates. God knows what people have done about cleaning up their data. But AI is going to have the same problem as any software if you don't have good data, garbage in, garbage out. So you really want to have good data. And you can use different applications to cleanse your data, to look for duplicates, to, you know, run it through and then dump those questionable ones into a bucket. And then you have a human doing that. So it can create new jobs.
Right. And
it can create an opportunity for people to get rid of the really boring part of their work, focus on their creativity, their productivity, and their energy on really providing something that's a win-win to the company and to that inspires them.
Absolutely. So essentially, it just needs to up-level every single area of the business and every role will be enhanced. Now, what I'm hearing too is this means that data cleansing and data governance is going to become so much more important. The companies that specialize in it will probably become busier.
Well, you have to be, because there's a key to AI, which is a lot of people are thinking, oh, we'll just switch it on. Things will go easy. Fantastic. But there needs to be responsible AI and AI governance, and there's right now, I don't know what the regulations are in Australia yet. I'm sure everyone's scrambling, but companies in general should have an AI governance policy for sure. Because, for example, if I am providing an automated response to you, either as an employee or even as a support desk, I would, as a business owner, I would want that to be tagged at the bottom. This was generated by AI. I want to be upfront that AI has done this task for me. So that if there are problems, that there's also a secondary place for them to go to where they can speak to a human.
Interesting.
You have to think about governance more than anything. I mean, and there's also, too, the whole problem with AI hallucinating. So I don't know if you've heard of AI hallucinations.
No.
AI hallucinations is where AI makes up stuff. So AI has pattern recognitions, and without going into how the LLMs work, et cetera, there's times where it thinks this should be the answer, or it could be the answer, or it doesn't have an answer, so it just makes one up. So as an example, I am in one of my times, I was looking at buying property, and I wasn't sure, and I didn't want to spend $500-$600 at a lawyer to like review the Section 32, which is the contract of sale. So I had a chat to one of my favorite AI systems and said, what's a really good legal AI system that can review this one? And they gave me a list of all the AIs, the costings, et cetera. And, but then at the end, I said, hey, I can take a stab at it if you want, because, you know, we're buds, not me and this AI. So I said, sure. So I found a way to, it was 500 pages. So I found a way to get it to him. I call my AI him. I've got one him, one of her, one in it. And he quickly analyzed it. And I honestly can tell you, from having used lawyers in the past, the level of detail that it went through and found possible problems with this unit, as well as possible costs, etc., were a level that I don't think any lawyer would have read to.
Correct.
But when I asked it about things like what's a body corporate fee, what's a counsel fees, it came back with a calculation that was just out in space. It was just so made up and so out there. And I questioned it and said, how did you come to this calculation? I said, because I did the calculations and they were X. And it said, no, they're Y. And I said, well, how did you find that? So it grabbed the information that was in the document and it assumed that meant this was the real data. So it just made an assumption and said, well, based on that, and it backwards calculated to where I was going to be paying, you know, $500 a year. Anybody corporate, that's $500 a year.
So again, yeah. It's human error. AI can make errors like a human being.
It does. It. I would say that when it makes errors, it's more like a human being that's probably had 55 too many scotch and sodas. Completely out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm also hearing, because of course I'm viewing this through my recruitment lens, because this is something that comes up a lot with my candidates. Even my clients have been concerned about it because their staff have been concerned about AI and job replacement. But then I'm hearing, so not only will it enhance current roles that we have, but I can create new roles through data governance, through even those that are extremely, so you are really very, very detail oriented. You see things that other people don't. And so those sorts of highly conscientious skill sets will become very important. AI can take over a lot of the detail, but you still need to be able to be detail oriented enough to pick up on the issues.
I think that the key, like I could foresee, and maybe we'll create it now if it does not exist, I could see like an AI manager role, which is you're responsible for testing it and making sure the data is clear and looking for hallucinations and being able to see why those occurred. Because if you have bad data, it's going to make bad decisions.
Sure.
Also, if it can't find what it's looking for. So, for example, if you've got a closed environment, so pretty much any of us can download a standalone language model. I'm trying to keep my language non-technical. So if I went to ChatGPT, although I don't know if they do it for free anymore, but I could go to DeepSeek, the Chinese one, or I could go to a variety of different ones. There's a place called Hugging Face, which is quite a repository of AI and stuff. Right. So you can download a standalone language model. So it's been trained somewhere by one of these different companies. You put it on your computer, so it's training is done elsewhere, but it's only accessing the data you give it. So basically, like it's gone to university to learn how to do these skills, but then you put it in a job which is inside your controlled environment of your system and give it to your data. So it takes its skill set and applies them to your data set. So controlling your data set will be a more secure environment that's not being shared or, you know, on the internet, etc. But it also gives you the ability to keep it just more confined.
Yes.
So there's, I'm by no means an expert in this in any form. I'm just thinking about all the ways to apply.
Absolutely.
The application that's pertinent to businesses. Because for me, there's lots of efficiency that can be gained by preventing problems.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
Actually, yeah.
Yes. And so on that, so when we're talking about you can take AI, give it just your data set. So that sounds like something that could be trending. So what are some emerging AI trends that SMB-driven businesses should really be paying attention to over the next few years? And I say this lightly because tech is moving so quickly now that this could be redundant in 6 months. But right now, what do you think SAP businesses should be paying attention to over the next few years?
I think originally we were going to talk about maybe 3 to 5 years out or a few years. I would not want to think about more than 6 to 12 months in advance.
Let's do it.
Every day, there's new models, there's new efficiencies. We're on the cusp of quantum computing with Google's chips and Microsoft's chips and this new, it's not even I don't even know how to describe it as a matter. It's neither a solid matter nor a liquid matter. This new matter that allegedly Microsoft discovered. So we don't know. That stuff could pop tomorrow. It could pop in 2035. So what we do know is technology is spinning at a faster rate than anything we've experienced in our lifetimes, faster than the internet of technology, faster than smartphone, faster than anything you can think of. So with that in mind, I would say for companies thinking about emerging trends right now, it's agentic AI or autonomous AI. And that you have an AI workforce. Now, personally, I'm not a fan of a full AI workforce because I feel like if you've automated everything, then no one's going to buy your products because no one's able to afford to buy your products. But I think an agentic enhanced workforce, I think, would be amazing for anyone. So, for example, I think I was talking to you earlier, is I want to do some research on my investments. So instead of downloading all the spreadsheets and looking at all the data and spending 3 or 4 hours myself, I want to be able to every week, every time I get an updated data set, upload it into my GPT, have it analyze all the data for me. And I can just have a conversation with going, oh, with what's going on in the market, do you think I should get out of property and move more into enough shares? Do you think I should get into blockchain? Like, you know, I want one that can augment my data with the knowledge to go to the internet or outside sources and understand real world scenarios.
Yes.
And compare it to my specific scenario or my data and give me recommendations. I could also, if I really wanted to, this is a trust thing, with agents, how much autonomy do you want to give them? I build an agent on my laptop, guarantee closed environment that can go, I can just say in the morning, go into my calendar, send a calendar invite to this person at this person at this time. Then I want you to book me a restaurant somewhere. I want you to go pay my bill. And then I want you to do some research and send an email to my mechanic about ordering this YZ for me. Go. And then off I go, come home from work, and I see it's all done.
So how would an SAP-driven company utilize that tech?
So, well, SAP has, I think they launched it in 22 or 23. They've had for years their business technology platform, the BTP.
Nobody understands. I have a lot of companies that are looking at it, but they don't fully understand how to utilize it. I shouldn't say nobody. That's a big generalization. But many, many companies don't fully understand how to utilize it or what it can do.
So the way I understand it, and I just was at a conference, so take the grain of salt, is you look at the technology platform, which is what applications can be connected. And from my understanding, and anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding, and again, grain of salt, could be wrong, is that you can also use the BTP. It's either that or it's the SAP build. So I'm not, like I said, I'm not 100% here. I'm not an SAP guru on this platform. But you can use SAP and non-SAP applications together as like your bottom line. So it's kind of like your canvas of a painting. Then you have machine learning, robotics, AI as like a layer of on the canvas. And then you have your ChatGPT, your Manus, your Joule as the artist who's going to make the painting. Okay? Yeah. So your base layer is all the applications running. Then you want to have what you want to do with those applications and the tools that you're going to do. So from an SAP perspective, I think that it doesn't matter what SAP module you're running, you can build a Gen AI. If it's not native SAP, you would use an API, which is an application programming interface. And a lot of them are pre-built from ChatGPT, which is OpenAI, to a million others in those companies like Zapier, who have all these AIs pre-built. You can either custom an API or use an API and take your generative AI solution to talk to your version of SAP or your module of SAP to do what it is you want to do.
Interesting.
It's built in. So anyone who's experienced with Microsoft Office now, 365, Copilot?
Yes.
Copilot is OpenAI, but Microsoft licensed it. So it's inside your company's security system. So it's using AI and it's giving you efficiencies in Word, in PowerPoint, in email, in Excel. Do just an absolute multitude of things from a generative AI perspective. What the agentic side, when it's becoming an agent, is where you can say, literally, talk to it or type to it and say, I need a PowerPoint. Go to my email, all the emails from Bethany about AI. Go into my web browser and look at the history and grab the last three articles. Put a PowerPoint together of everything that I've said and these sorts of things, and send it out to Bethany and see what, if she thinks it's a good summary. And you could, within Microsoft, you can do that because those are all Microsoft applications. So converting SAP. SAP has got great dashboards. So in SAP, I don't know to what level this is released yet because I've only just went to a demo about it a couple of weeks ago. But based on what I've read in the roadmap, it would eventually get to this level. But so thinking about procurement, so the Ariba spend management side of things, you could have Joule where I'm just a procurement professional. I need to order chairs for my office or for all the offices. I don't know how to use Ariba. I don't know how to use the SRM for SAP. So I'm just going to use the Joule chat and say, I need to order chairs. And it'll have a conversation with me. Do you have a cost code? Yeah, this is my cost code. Do you have this? Do you have that? How much do you want to spend? Do you need to have a supplier that does XYZ? And it'll have a conversation with me. When I'm done, it'll either create a purchase order out of the SAP system or purchase rec for approvals, or it will literally take over my laptop and go navigate to that module, put it up with my access, and show me where I need to take action.
Interesting. So what I'm
for you.
That's amazing. So what I'm hearing from all of that is it's not just about SAP AI, but it's also about other AI systems integrating into SAP. Yeah. We need to learn how to do both. So for companies that are looking to integrate AI into their SAP systems, what are the first steps they should do in order to ensure success? I'm sure data is part of that. But talk to me. What are you thinking?
So anyone who wants to start, is I would encourage them to literally write down their wish list. Magic wand, utopia, fairy godmother of AI is here. I want everything. Write it down.
Yes.
Then you would need to figure out, of all the things you want to do, what's going to be the biggest bang for your buck? Like, where are you going to get the biggest ROI? Would it be nice if we had this part of the business automated? Or would it be hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars savings if we implemented an automation here? Would this mean, from a warehouse system, would we be able to buy only the correct products and stop wasting by buying products that no one's buying? Because AI's, I go to order and says, whoa, 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 none of your clients have purchased that from you in like 18 months.
Sure.
This product we're running short of. Are you sure you want to order this instead of this? And you're like, oh, great idea. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, I'll do that. So you've got the ability to think first. Well, what I would encourage is like a consultant would be write the wish. And then we go through where's your biggest bang for your buck? Where are you going to have fast, a quick ROI? Where are you going to have a big ROI? Do you need cost savings or do you need revenue increase? Do you need more staff? Do you need less staff? Do you need, again, there'd be 10,000 questions because I don't know what this imaginary business does. But you as a business have to figure out where you want to be and what would be ideal and whittle it back to what is reasonable or more financially palatable for you.
It does. This sounds like a conversation that the CFO and the CIO could actually happily have together. One issue that we see a lot with SAP programs is you have a CIO that is all for it and a CFO that does not want to invest because they can't fully see the ROI. And so conversations like this means the CFO is much more likely to approve any kind of a program with AI because you can specifically see where the cost savings are and they can pull different levers to get the outcome that they want. And then the CIO is happy because we're up to date with technology. We're doing something new for the business that enhances processes.
Yeah, it comes down to, and again, what might be, so one business might think the most important thing is that we automate all of our outgoing sales. Another company might be, no, our warehouse, we have so many goods and services that we're not sure what's going and Are we overpaying? Are we holding stock too long? Another one is, well, I'm a consulting firm and we don't know who's going to be on the bench or not. So it can be anything from something little to something huge to launching a product, your product launches. But I think it's pretty much anything you can imagine, you can do. So if you think back I don't want to date myself or yourself. In the days that the people were doing telephones, picking up the neighbor just to have a chat.
Yes.
They have envisaged a mobile, probably not even a laptop, but a phone that they could talk to, but they could also run AI, order things, use it as a remote control for their TV, if a TV brings, like, there was no way to envisage what a smartphone has become today.
Yes.
We have all the thoughts and the visions we want of what AI is going to do, what it can do for us. But we just, it's so, some of it's impossible to think about. Some of it's terrifying to think about. And other stuff is so unknown because every single day someone's got another thing launched and it's achieving something new. I feel like I've just talked really gently, but it's such a big question mark.
No, it is. It makes sense. If you look back to, and now I will date myself, but like the Jetsons, which I grew up watching, they had giant screens everywhere where your boss could easily dial in and speak to you, but they didn't have small handheld devices with which to do that from memory. They had flying cars, but they didn't have the concept of the smartphone, which in many ways is more advanced than the technology in there, because they could not envision what that looked like. So that makes sense.
It's on your radar. Mm. I mean, you had your first Nokia or mobile phone. Was your brain ever thinking you were going to be using it to do video calling to someone in another country? You were just thinking, 27 cents a minute, I'll text you instead.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Deborah. This has been brilliant. Now, how can a company get a hold of you if they wanted to utilize your services as a contractor for change and training, especially when it comes to AI? How can they do that?
They can reach out to me on LinkedIn or send me an email. You can post the details somewhere.
Brilliant. That could be a LinkedIn. That works for me. Amazing.
They can use the Neuralink and send me a telepathy. I'm sure that'll be in about 6 weeks.
at this rate, I think you're right. Oh, thank you so much, Deborah. I appreciate it. And thank you very much.
Oh, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it, Bethany.